1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Without getting too specific, we often hear of stories about children being attacked by household pets, like dogs, babies attacked by a otherwise loving pet. And we wonder why these things happen. And there's been one recently in the news here in Los Angeles where a Pomeranian dog killed a six-week-old baby. And Dr. Robert Green, who is an animal behaviorist, has come on our program this evening. He's written a book called Alpha Baby, The Threat to Small Dogs, which is a whole different twist on this. We often hear about pit bulls and those kind of things, but even smaller animals could be a danger, you say, Dr. Green, to children? Dr. Green?
Phil, I'm really sorry. I was in a coughing fit for a minute because I've got a cold.
Yeah, I'm suffering from one, too.
Oh, really? That's very coincidental.
Yeah.
To answer your question, Phil, first of all, without taking, talking about the story, it does exemplify what's explained in my book. Where a baby is brought home from the hospital, the instinct of this child, the first thing is for that child to take a look around and size up, suss out the environment, size up who lives there. Is there any competition for affection? I think it's a normal process that any of us would do, and even a baby does that. So,
all right, a baby comes home from the hospital and starts looking at who the competition is?
Well, yes, the competition for affection, if you will.
Yeah, but what I'm asking is there a threat to dogs out there? Is there?
Well, that is true, and that's what I'm getting at. The baby or the small child can be that threat. One thing that babies have in their favor is that they're very cute, because in a society where they are, there are hungry families, they could be eaten. Thank God our economy's good. Otherwise, children are very, very cute, and in some societies where they don't eat well, they consider a baby to be a delicacy. But there is one thing that is as cute as a baby, and that is a pet. Small dogs, puppies, kittens, small animals, and the baby recognizes what it's up against. Crying is the first step to get the attention of the family, but all that does is make the family angry, and so the baby then makes the next step in his mind, I've got to get rid of the dog somehow, because the dog is cute, and the dog is competition.
All right. So in other words, a baby who is brought home from the hospital is looking for the attention of his parents naturally.
Yes, that is a natural step, but it sees...
But you're saying it sees the dog as a competitor for that attention.
That's true, Phil, especially when they see that a dog can bark or a dog can whimper and it'll get a cookie or it'll get a treat. A baby, when he cries, is simply an impediment to the parents. So when a baby cries, the parents get angry. And that is, I think, when the tension between the baby and the pet really starts, and the child does try to hurt the pet.
We're talking to Dr. Robert Green, who's an animal behaviorist. He's saying, he's written a book called Alpha Baby, The Threat to Small Dogs, that when some babies or some children are attacked by dogs, what you're saying is the dog is responding to an attack by the child?
That is correct. The dog is simply trying to defend itself, because I think as hard as it is for people to believe this, the first thing a baby wants to do when it comes home from the hospital and sees a small dog in the house is to kill it.
Come on.
No, it absolutely is true. It wants to eliminate that dog.
But, I mean, the baby wants to kill the dog. How many dead dogs are there out there?
Well, one of the things is that babies are very small. Children are very small, so they don't pose that big of a threat. We outline, Phil, in our book, three or four things that a baby will do, that a child will do, to try to eliminate that competition.
All right, I have your book in front of me, Alpha Baby, The Threat to Small Dogs. You're talking about a situation where a baby can coax the dog's head through the crib bars and then drop the crib rail?
That's correct. There were two instances of that in Colorado and Illinois where a baby wanting to pet the dog stuck its head through the bars on the crib, and that's when the child let loose of the crib rail, much like a guillotine.
And what is this, one child tried to hang an animal with a blanket?
That is in Illinois, where the child tied the blanket around the dog's neck and then tried to hang the animal. Yeah, pulled the blanket down over the crib rail. And
it's difficult for me to understand that a baby, 6 months of age...
Well, we're talking about children now that are about a year old.
I understand that, but would have that kind of hostility. Now, what is the headlocking the animal and running its head into the crib leg post?
That was a case in Texas where a child actually took a dog, headlocked it, and then ran its head into a leg post of a crib.
Headlocked the dog.
That's correct.
All right, Dr. Green, when you, as an animal behaviorist, are you seeing anything that the animal is doing to threaten the dog? I mean, that the animal is doing to threaten the child?
No, not at all. This is all coming from the child, from the baby standpoint. The baby is threatened by the dog. I'll give you an idea. This happened in Southern California. A child was teaching a dog how to play fetch and then threw the ball out of a two-story window. And the dog...
The dog jumped out of the window.
Dog went sailing out of the window after the ball, yeah. Therefore, we have over the last 20 years seen babies from 1 month to 4 years responsible for the wholesale butchery of millions of household pets. We have seen pit bulls and Rottweilers attacking babies, but what that really is that the animal senses that there is some danger there.
And in your way of thinking, that explains why a Rottweiler would attack a baby?
That explains it for me, yeah, that the pit bull and the Rottweiler sense a definite problem with regard to that child, that the child is hostile.
All right, so the whole idea then that the children are hostile toward the pet and bring on their own problem because the pet attacks?
The pet, knowing that his days are numbered, knowing that he has an active adversary in that house, will take steps to try to eliminate that baby. The alpha baby, Phil, and the alpha dog, they're in this sort of timeless battle, not unlike Sisyphus, pushing the rock up the hill and then having it slide back down again. This is the tension between these two entities, and I think it can cause, obviously, as it has in many cases, the death of the child more often than the dog because the child is very small.
Dr. Robert Green is an animal behaviorist. He's saying that children who are attacked by dogs and sometimes killed by household pets bring it on themselves because the children themselves want to eliminate the dog from competition for affection in the house. So the baby comes home from the hospital, looks around, sees that there's a dog in the house, knows that there's competition, and tries to kill it.
That is exactly right. I will tell you, Phil...
Well, you realize you're talking about all of us because we were all babies.
And that is where this spirit of competition, that's where this very stressful struggle for competitive edge starts. It starts as a child. And
yeah, but we're not homicidal about it in later life.
No, we're not, because we have learned the rules of a society which tell us that homicide, that murder, that killing another human being is wrong. But as a baby, you don't yet have that moral code. Babies are born virtually blank slates. So killing an animal, killing a human being, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I don't know what baby could kill.
But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what baby could kill a human being, and I don't think that they would... I don't know whether there's a moral code among babies. That reminds me of that short story by Ray Bradbury, the Small Assassin.
That's a very good short story, and of course, The Twilight Zone about the doll. You know, but The Small Assassin is a great story.
Yeah, that's a story about a baby that cried so much because it tried to kill its mother.
Right. Well, I'm not saying that they're trying to kill their mothers, but I am saying the first thing they want to do when they come into a home with a pet is kill it. And a lot of dogs defend themselves.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. So let me just get this right. If a baby, for instance, grabs a dog's head and pulls it through the rails of a crib and then drops the crib rail on it, that's an active act of trying to kill the animal. That isn't, the animal, that isn't just a child being boisterous.
No, it is not, Phil. They are trying to commit murder. I mean, pet murder, but murder.
Pet murder. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. We have these stories occasionally in the news about children being killed by household pets. Dr. Robert Green has written a book called Alpha Baby, The Threat to Small Dogs, in which you make the claim that babies, small children, are a threat to pets and that they attempt to kill them almost from the womb.
That is correct.
And you're also saying that children, you made the statement that babies, children, have been responsible for butchering up, and I'm using your words, millions of pets.
That is also correct.
Well, I've had people say to me that they've got children, they've never seen anything like this happen.
Well, Phil, I don't want to argue with you. I will tell you, the last thing a baby's going to do is try to pull something when his parents are looking at him. He's going to wait until...
All right, so in other words, if the parent is there, the baby's not going to do anything.
Right. Because the baby knows that the parents are watching, so he's not going to pull anything there. He'll wait till they go to bed, or that they're out of town, on a business trip, a fishing trip, anything.
Then the baby makes his move.
Then the baby will make the move. Yeah, and we have seen one of the things that babies know instinctively. I guess we all know it is that pets will chase cars, or they'll chase trucks. I'm sure you're aware of that, Phil.
Yeah, we've seen that.
All right. The Fisher-Price car is something that a child will drive around, and the child will drive around in that Fisher-Price car knowing the dog will chase them. Then at the last second, turn the wheel into the car, into the pet.
Trying to lure the dog?
Trying to lure the dog to chase the car, and then just as the dog begins to chase the little Fisher-Price car, they turn the wheel and crush the pet. They try to lure the dog over and put the dog's head in the little closet play record I can't read Mike's writing.
I know. He's having a hard time today.
But then, so are you.
Me too. Here is in their close and play record player. Is that what it's called?
Close and play. You're right.
Then you knew what that was.
I did. You're the one that...
Okay. Here is Hollywood on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Yes. I really can't agree with Dr. Green with this at all. He makes... I really chuckle at what he just said a while ago.
Which is what, ma'am?
And, you know, the child is waiting until the parents go to bed or they go out of town to hurt an animal. That is so ridiculous. I've never heard anything so ridiculous
Ma'am, if I may jump in, one of the things I hear a lot of parents say is that I've never heard of such a thing. I've never heard... It is true that this is a theory that is relatively new, but because you haven't heard of it doesn't mean that it hasn't happened. And I will tell you pets know.
Dear doctor, a baby is born very innocent into this world.
Pets know they're in jeopardy.
No.
A small dog knows when a baby is in the house.
When an adult is about to hurt an animal, yes, but
yes.
Not a baby.
But
a
that's
baby
when they know that a baby,
like that.
Well, if you look at how cute a baby is, and babies are naturally cute,
they
are very cute. And you look at how cute a pet is.
Uh-huh.
There is competition from the parents or from the owners for that attention. So the baby tries to out-cute the pet.
There will be more competition from the animal than the baby, but not from the baby at all.
Is the pet not jealous of the baby?
No.
The pet is jealous of the baby.
No,
yes.
No. We have found the pet is not jealous. Pets generally are a lot more open-minded. Babies are young. I don't understand why you're laughing. I've worked 4 years on this book.
Well, you said pets are more open-minded.
Well, what I mean is, by nature, a pet is a lot more open. The pet will accept the baby, but the baby, from the instant he gets into the house, begins to plot.
Dr. Green, you're speaking like as if here comes and what age baby are you talking about? You're talking
about a
newborn?
As soon as the child is home, yes, ma'am.
No.
As soon as the child is home.
Mm-hmm.
How can a small child hang a pet from a blanket?
I don't know. We're still trying to figure that out. I don't know.
No, I think you've probably been watching a lot of these, what they call these little movies they have with these kids. I don't even know the name because I don't watch them, but they have one called Chucky or things like that. You're talking about things
that. No, ma'am, I saw my brother-in-law had a stag party, and we had a film called Chucky, and it was one of these dirty movies, but I never saw Chucky or whatever you're saying.
Uh-huh.
Chucky.
Right. It was, you know, like as in chicken.
Okay, let's get off of porn movies, okay? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm very embarrassed.
Well, I didn't mean to bring that in, and I'm sure the lady didn't either, but we're talking about babies that are ramming the heads of dogs into walls, and then what's this thing playing catch, fetch?
Yeah, the kid threw the ball out of a second floor window, the dog ran after it.
And plummeted to his death.
Sailed right out the window.
No.
Well, I'm, you know.
All right. I want to thank you for your call, ma'am. I'm going to move on.
Okay.
Thank you very much, dear. Here is Omaha on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
It is me.
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
Well, good. Well, I was just calling. I've been listening, and I have 3 children, 2 dogs, cat, all of which I had my animals when I brought my 3 children home, and I've seen the changes in the animal a little bit, but if anyone's been around a newborn baby, they cry for their needs. They don't even have the thought process to pull together hurting anyone. They just want to be, you know, taken care of.
Well, what they're doing is they want attention. Yes, they want your attention.
Well, they need our attention or they'll die.
And they're trying to draw your attention away. You never heard yelping over the baby monitor? Do you have a baby monitor in the house?
Yes, I do.
All right. Do you ever hear the pet yelping or in pain?
Absolutely not.
Have you ever heard, let me ask you this. Have you ever heard any appliance turn on?
By my baby?
No, I'm just asking you. When you were out of the room, did you ever, and the baby was perhaps somewhere near the kitchen, did you ever hear an electric knife turn on? Did you ever hear a stove turn on? Anything like that?
No, I have not.
Wait a second. Are you saying a baby?
I am telling you that it is possible.
Oh, sure. Everything's possible.
You got it.
What do you mean an electric knife? Telling me?
Yes, ma'am.
Wait a minute.
Have you ever been around an infant child for a long period of time?
Oh, I have a 4-year-old daughter, yes.
Because I just having 3 myself, a newborn child having the thoughts to know, I've seen the difference in the animal towards the baby.
It's a very revolutionary theory, but the point is my daughter, when she was probably 4 months old and could crawl and could get around the house pretty good, Minnie was the night I would hear the electric can opener go on or something, and I knew. This was when I began to suspect that there might be some enmity between her and the dog.
You heard the electric can opener?
Yes, sir.
So let me ask you something. An electric can opener is generally up on a counter, and the baby got up there and it was attempting to do what? Open up the dog's head with a can? What are you talking about?
I am saying, let me ask you something, ma'am. When you were out, do you have a chainsaw?
We do have a chainsaw, yes.
All right. Did you ever hear that turn on?
I have a seven-year-old.
Yeah,
right. Go ahead. I'm not understanding what you're saying.
I think you know what I'm trying to say.
I have a 7-year-old who, without directions, could not operate a chainsaw. I laid down an infant could crawl out and whip on a saw, you know.
Ma'am, Ray Bradbury was a great writer. He wrote a book called, a short story called The Small Assassin, where a baby actually murdered its own mother.
Hmm. And that was a fictitious story that has nothing to do with reality.
I know, but it scared the hell out of me. You know?
Very interesting.
See what I'm saying? So
yeah,
if you hear a car start up or anything...
Are you serious?
What I'm trying to say is this. The hostility that a young child has for a pet knows no limits. And a friend of mine, Dr. Worth, who is in the same department with me, likes to say that even the fires of hell do not burn as searingly hot as a baby's enmity toward a small dog.
This is so difficult to believe.
That is not an argument, though, Phil.
Yeah, but it's so difficult to believe. The fires of hell don't burn as hot? Thank you for your call, ma'am. Santa Rosa on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I mean, he's talking about earlier, say, who in the hell leaves their kids on a fishing trip alone with the dog? I mean, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
I'm sorry?
Leaving the animals... I mean, I understand you should have them together, but it's like right. You don't leave your baby alone, especially if you have, like, you know, a bunch of dogs and stuff.
Well,
you let them play together.
No, what I'm saying is the dog is not going to, the baby's not going to try anything as long as you're watching.
The baby's not going to try anything, slam the head through a crib? But what?
No, I'm saying the baby's not going to try anything as long as he knows the parents are around.
Okay.
He waits for you to go out of town.
You don't leave your baby, you don't, I'm going to leave my kid, home while I go on a fishing trip? My 1-year-old?
Well, is your wife there, or I don't know?
Yeah, she's here. She doesn't want, you know.
How many times do you think, I thought I turned the oven off? How many times have you thought that?
What is that? I mean, when I go on a trip.
No, but how many times have you thought, I thought I turned the oven off, and you find that it's on?
So you're telling me that the baby has crawled over and fired on the oven.
I am saying that these are things that need to be considered, yeah.
All right. Thank you, sir, for your attention. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
I know. I saw that.
All right. Hold on. Dr. Robert Greene is with me. I'm Phil Hendry. This is the Phil Hendry Show at 1-800-449-8686. The book is called Alpha Baby, The Threat to Small Dogs. Dr. Greene believes in his book, and you are an animal behaviorist?
Yes, Phil.
That small dogs that have killed children, and we've seen these stories, pets that kill children, are actually defending themselves against the natural hostility that babies have toward pets. Now, you have a couple of instances, one where a baby threw a ball out of a window and the dog chased it and died. You're also mentioning a drowning?
Yes, sir.
What happened there?
That was, dogs have a natural tendency, fellas, you know, to drink out of the toilet or wherever they find water. We have an instance in Dallas, Texas, where a baby was waiting around the corner for the dog to put his head into the toilet and begin to drink. And that's a very naturally easy thing for a baby to crawl over very quickly and slam the lid shut so that the dog's entire body went into the toilet and the dog eventually drowned.
And now, you're saying the baby was waiting around the corner.
That's true. And you have to understand, no baby is going to do anything that's going to put him in jeopardy or have him at risk. So he's going to wait for adults not to be watching. This was observed by, actually, the baby's older sister. The parents were out of the house. The older sister was babysitting, and the baby thought that he was in the that the coast was clear.
And well, how do you know what the baby's thinking?
Well, that's the assumption based on the fact that he'd never tried this while the parents were watching.
So the baby is hiding around the corner. As soon as the dog starts taking a drink, you say he crawled very rapidly over there and slammed the lid shut.
Yes, sir, I did. And we have that documented. That is the Purnell family of Dallas, Texas, and that was in August of 1995.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number on the Phil Hendry Show. Dr. Robert Greene, who believes that babies have been responsible for, and small children, for the deaths of thousands, maybe millions of dogs, because there is a natural enmity between the two, competing, as it were, for adults or for the owner's attention. Big Cabin on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey.
Yes, hello.
I drive a truck, and I've been listening to this, and this is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard in my entire life.
Well, ma'am, you drive a truck, so you don't even... Have you got a baby inside the truck?
Listen to me. Well, I am the oldest of eight children. We were raised with animals all over the place. I was helping to raise my little brothers and sisters. I've got three children of my own, and if you think that I'm going to put the importance of a child over an animal to begin with, that is ridiculous.
Wait, I think you misspoke, ma'am. Well,
ma'am, you know
I think
what?
You're wrong.
If you think your child's so evil,
yeah, the child is evil. They're not evil, ma'am. It's something that a child is going.
Evil.
I'm not saying they're evil. I'm saying it is a natural tendency for a child to want to butcher up a pet. I will tell you that I saw a child crawl into the front seat of an automobile, fire it up, and try to ram a dog.
Well, you know what?
And how old was the kid?
About 3 years old.
Because it's just ridiculous that
well,
you see all
just
these
because
things
you don't
and none
believe
of us
it,
see them.
Just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it hasn't happened.
It's not true.
Well, just because
okay,
you don't believe it.
You have demons following you.
Ma'am, I am a scientist. I'm not a religious nut, okay?
This is not. Children are not like this. You know what
I'm
you're
not a,
doing?
This is not a Bible
you
thumper class, okay?
You are making available the fact that now people will want to kill their children thinking that they've got demons or something.
If that's what it takes.
Now, wait a minute. What do you mean if that's what it takes?
Look. There's an instance where a German Shepherd, a show dog, a prize-winning animal, a kid tried to poison this thing. Where they found
a crazy.
I'm crazy.
Yes,
they found that
crazy.
St. Joseph's aspirin for children.
Somebody has got to tell you that to your face. You are a nut.
Ma'am, I'm not the one who poisoned the dog, lady. I'm not the one who poisoned the dog. Okay.
Well, you know, did the kid know what he was doing? You keep saying it's a theory that you know what the dog's thinking.
Well, ma'am, if I misspoke, what I'm trying to...
Well, you did say a few times that you thought the dog is more open-minded, and...
Yes,
well,
you see, and you know what the dog knows.
The dog
this
is a little
a
bit
dog.
More... The dog's a little bit more broad-minded than the kid, sure.
Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, that makes a whole bunch of sense.
Ma'am, I ask you, you drive a truck for a living, I'm a scientist, I'm not saying I'm better than you, but I think I know my stuff. More than you do.
Well, this lady has.
I did before I drove a truck. I have done a lot of things in my life.
Well, let me see. You were a pet groomer. I don't know.
Excuse me.
You're
a
lion
hospital employee.
A lion
and
trainer.
I'm not talking down in the laboratory.
Well, where did you work? In the lavatory?
No, I sure didn't.
Whereabouts?
And you know what? If you're going to try to tell me that kids are having this kind of problem with animals, you know what you need to do? You need to just make sure you get rid of all your animals. Wouldn't that be the solution? And
no,
telling
I don't
that
think
parents
so.
Leave their kids to go on fishing trips.
No, I didn't say
you know,
that. I'm
that
saying that the kid bides his time.
Thing I've ever heard in my life.
Let me ask you this, doctor. You said that the kid drowned a pet in a toilet.
He was biding his time, waiting for the until
oh,
the coast was clear.
You are so crazy. Kids are mischievous. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure that the boy threw the ball out the window. The kids don't plan these
All right,
things.
Ma'am. You think
Do
what you
not
want.
Tell me. Kids
and one
plan
of these days,
things.
And one morning, you'll wake up and your dog will be dead with a knife in it.
Oh, you are demon possessed, man. You better start praying or something.
What kind of Jesus stuff
is
this?
I mean, you are crazy.
You wake up one morning and you find your dog asphyxiated from carbon monoxide. Tell me your kid didn't do it.
Oh, my kid didn't do it.
Wait a minute. How do you know a kid did that?
Because they found a 3-year-old child crawling from the seat of a car after turning the engine on.
Well, kids can do... What was the kid doing in the car?
Trying to murder a dog.
Oh, you are nutty.
Oh,
you
I'm
are
nutty,
absolutely
huh?
out of
she
your mind.
She was trying to commit wholesale murder on a dog.
How old was this child?
Don't come crying to me when your
How
dog
old
suffocates.
Was your child? How old was this child?
3.
Oh, you are crazy. You are absolutely nutty.
Don't come crying to me when you wake up one morning and your
well,
dog
you know,
is five stories down.
Let me tell you the truth, and this is between you and everyone listening out here in America, okay? We better stop worrying about animals and start paying more attention to our children. You are right. If a baby accidentally does something that hurts an animal, you know what? And I'm not an animal hater. Do not go there. Do not go there. But if an animal...
Are you an animal hater? You sound like an animal hater.
...calculation of throwing the ball out
I think you
window,
must be an animal
that
hater.
That baby is more important than that stupid
you know,
animal.
I will tell you, I think you're an animal hater. I think you hate animals.
I am not.
I think you like to torture them.
I am not. In fact, I'm getting ready to get a farm.
Wait a minute. Don't go there. She said that she's an animal. Don't go there.
I said don't go there.
And one other thing I don't want you to do, Mr. Green, is say that I'm an animal hater. I love animals. I would never do anything bad to an animal.
Do you hate animals, Mr. Henry?
What did I just say to you?
See, I think both of you hate animals.
See,
ma'am, you'll think differently when your Irish setter...
He don't want to care about people.
I'll tell you right now, you'll think differently when your Irish setter has a Pokemon shoved up its rear end, okay? And you've got to take it to the doctor and have an enema to try to get a bedspring out of it.
Unbelievable. Thank you.
This man is absolutely crazy.
Are you? Where are you driving a truck right now?
Nutty.
Do you have any children around you?
Me?
Yes.
Yes, I have my 12-year-old son.
All right. Oh, he's 12?
Yes.
All right, do you have a dog?
He's going to kill elephants. Oh, my goodness, he's going to kill the next elephant
yes.
he sees.
Yes, they may have to perform...
He's a bigger person.
They may have to perform a pokeectomy on an elephant.
Okay, get out of here. A pokeectomy. All right, guys, so if you've got little children around there and you don't keep an eye on them, and you happen to hear the car start up one night, it could be your newborn infant out there trying to asphyxiate the dog. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And as we mentioned, please don't forget, we'll be broadcasting live from the Museum of Television and Radio on November the 2nd in Beverly Hills. If you want to come see us, it's first come, first serve. And our casino night, November the 4th at the Museum of Flying, is the Phil Henry Show. And My Friend's Place present Dwight Yoakam, who'll be playing at our Casino Night 2000. And all the proceeds that we raise go to My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. Our CD, our 1999 CD, raised just under $170,000. And we will be making available for sale in early November our Best of the Phil Henry Show 2000 CD. And then, you know, the idea that I've got, I'm going to announce this now. I'm going to announce this now, and I'm going to own this now, and this is mine. This is mine, and we're going to do this in May. We are going to have the first annual Phil Henry Pool Tournament. Stick. Pool, yeah. Well, what else kind of pool tournament? Mike thought we were going to be swimming. We're going to be swimming in my pool. We're going to have a pool tournament because I think that's it's a great sport for starters. And secondly, I think it'll be a nice thing to do in the spring because there's nothing going on in the springtime. And thirdly, there's enough pool halls around here, man. We could get a real good tournament going with, I don't know how many players we should admit. I do know that I don't want any ringers. I don't want anybody who is, they got to be listeners of the Phil Henry Show. But we could rent out the Hollywood Palladium? How about the Hollywood Athletic Club? Do they have a pool room there? And Craig wants to know which one of my kids will kick my rear end in this pool tournament. My kids are not allowed to play in it. Especially you, Nick. I beat him 3-2 the other night, and then he came back and tied it up at 3-3. And I said, let's go again. No, it's tied, man. It's tied. Like, come on, let's go again. And he beats me 4-3. So what we'll do is we'll play pool, lots of tables, good food, bring in a little sponsorship maybe on the beer side of life. And we'll have, we'll raise money for my friend's place. Or maybe I'll just give it to another charity. I don't know. Or maybe I'll keep it. Maybe I'll just keep all the money we make. How about that? How about if we have a pool tournament, we raise money, and then I keep it? I keep it, and I spend it on a car or clothes. So remember, that's $100 entry in the Phil Henry pool tournament. I'll keep all the money and buy clothes with it. What do you think about that? Isn't that great? No, you can't do that. You got to give it to a charity. That way people feel you're credible. They feel that you care about people because everybody thinks I'm making so much money. Why would I need that? And of course, they don't know how much I make and they don't know how desperately I do need the money. But we'll pretend like I'm loaded and we'll give the money to charity. How about that? But I may kick some Mike's way. But anyway, so we're going to own that. It's going to be the first. And what do you think of that, man? Is that a great idea or what? It'll be a blast. I don't know how many tables. Now, what's the joint in Pasadena that has all the... What's the place on Colorado, Craig? Were you guys hanging around during the Rose Parade a few years ago, and Tim and Neil broadcasted from some place on Colorado Boulevard on New Year's Eve when they were getting ready for the Rose Parade? What's the name of that place? Q's. How many tables they got in there? You need to find a place that's got a lot of tables. I don't know. But maybe there's somebody out there with a pool hall in a good part of town. Who cares? In any part of town. They got about 12 tables is fine. See, what you do is you have a series of games throughout the day, then you have elimination, and I'm thinking it's like a six-hour tournament or something. But Mike is still on this Hollywood Athletic Club thing. What street is the Hollywood Athletic Club on? It's on Sunset Boulevard? Will our listeners come from the outer boroughs and the outer burgs to Sunset Boulevard on a Sunday afternoon? Sure, they would. I'm thinking it's Saturday afternoon at the Hollywood Athletic Club. And we'll have a pool tournament, and maybe we'll draw, I don't know. I know one thing that I don't want it to be. I don't want it to be a tournament where a bunch of ringers and a bunch of sharps and a bunch of dudes who, are just getting into, because there's not going to be any cash prize on this thing. There'll just be a trophy. All the money's going to go to the charity. We'll get somebody to set up the rules. But no money, so if you're trying to hustle anybody, forget it, okay? You must be a listener to the show. We've got to figure out how we're going to do that, too. I don't want some, you give each contestant a Phil Henry knowledge quiz, says Craig. Interesting. Maybe one afternoon we'll just have to qualify pool players. If you have your own stick, if you have one of those breakdown sticks, forget it. You ain't playing. Anybody shows up with their own stick, Schaefer, he's got his own stick. You're out. You're out even before it begins. What, you got a stick you bust down and put into the bag? Oh, geez. All right, brother. Try to throw me out, he says. I think that would be a lot of fun. Everybody does golf tournaments. I didn't want to do a golf tournament. I knew I wanted to do something this spring, and I wanted to have it to be a blast, and I wanted to be sponsor-friendly, and I wanted it to, let's play a beer a ball, and we'll play straight pool, and you get that many beers. We will play straight pool. I know I want it to be a straight pool tournament. Nothing fancy. No 9-ball and no 8-ball. You know, an 8-ball is for 8-ball's too tough. And 9-ball, nobody gets it. So let's play straight pool. And I think that, what do you think? You like that idea, Craig? So look for it this spring. We're having the Phil Henry Show And Craig says, as long as there's beer. No, there won't be beer. We're going to have a milk sponsor come on board. Anyway.
I'm listening to this man. I wouldn't call him a gentleman. I agree with the previous caller who thinks he's offensive. I'm 77. I just finished a 1,000-mile drive. Hmm. I have driven in every single state in this union.
Hawaii?
I have had a driver's license since I'm 17, which means I've been driving for 60 years. I have never once ever had a ticket other than two parking tickets in my entire life.
Was your skirt
Hasn't
hanging out the door at any point during this
individual ever heard of the AARP
yes,
Drive Alive program?
AARP Arrive Alive means
Drive
you
Alive
have,
program,
yes, but
which
that means
I
you have to be alive when
I
you get into the car.
And I think he needs to take it. This
well,
man is,
not
is
trying to
really
insult
ignorant.
You. I'm not
I'd like to
insult
know
you.
If he remembers what Aristotle said to his students.
Yeah, he said, period, over, I'll see you guys tomorrow.
No.
I mean,
no,
I don't know.
What are you trying to
say that? Mister, you've got
You know, you're really some kind of a smart mouth. You know that, Art?
Look, at this lady.
He is a smart
man,
mouth, and I don't want to be bothered with him. And
right.
I'm ashamed,
I have to ask
Bill,
you
that
question.
You put him on your show.
I'm very sorry.
If
I'm...
you want to have somebody
What's a stop
on
sign
there
look
to
like?
Talk about man. Drivers, senior drivers,
I got her, I got
then
her.
Have intelligent people.
I got her
people
in our file.
People who've had experience.
Yes, ma'am.
You know,
yeah,
don't
yes,
have somebody like this who sits at a computer and is arrogant.
How fast are you going right now?
People, that gentleman called up, it was obvious he wasn't driving his car when he was speaking.
Right.
Yet this idiot couldn't even determine that. So
he said he was in his
no
living room
judgment.
Going 65 miles an hour.
He has no judgment.
How fast are you driving right now, ma'am?
I'm in my kitchen, and it's not moving, and when I drive the speed limit. And when I'm
right.
driving here on the I-15 or the I-215,
yes,
and
sir.
I'm doing 70 miles an hour, idiots like you are passing in like at 80 and 85. The speed limit here, for your information, is 70 miles an hour in certain areas.
Yes, in the desert areas, you're
down,
right.
And I know what a stop sign looks like, and I know what a caution sign looks like, and
right.
I don't have to
I just have one question,
ability.
Then. All right, I don't, I'm not trying to take your license away from you, ma'am.
And if I
was the one who
wife,
said...
I would hit you with a grapefruit.
You hit me with a grapefruit, like
I
Jimmy
sure
Cagney did to Joan Rondell in Public
man.
Enemy. Ma'am?
And you do no service to ensure that good drivers are good drivers.
What does green
Why
mean?
Why did you once mention the AARP Drive Alive program?
Because
you
have... I did. I said Drive Alive.
Did you
and
ever
a lot of people don't
AARP
know that they're supposed to drive
that
alive.
Program for $10?
I
did. Did you even suggest...
No, you did not, Art.
I said you have to drive alive.
No. Did you
I
even
said,
mention
well,
that
What, are you supposed to drive dead?
Seniors would do
Just
best
one
if
question,
they enrolled
ma'am.
In the AARP
Just
program
one question.
For
$10? What does green
that
mean?
That might be too much for your puny
well, have
brain
you ever
to understand, and I even doubt that you could pass the AARP test.
Have you ever driven while dead? I mean, obviously, driving...
Okay, that's it. That's fine.
This is an ignorant idiot.
I'm sorry.
He is. Okay, Phil, bye-bye.
All right,
You're driving down the road. Are the cars coming at you as you're driving, or are they driving with... Oh, she hung up.
I'll stay with you, darling, now.
Phil Henry.
I'll stay with you till my seas are dried up.
Phil Henry is bitchin'.